And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Santa Barbara and Ventura Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is unconventional. Each of my guests is discussing an unconventional aspect of life, either in history, in business, or in medicine. My first guest is a disappointed ballerina who turned an author of historical fiction and nonfiction. We discussed her book about the unconventional rogues, brats, brutes, and bad seeds of European royalty, titled Royal Pains. My second guest is considered America's greatest marketer by American Way magazine. We discussed his call to action about the initiative that you're taking both in your life and in your job from his latest book, Poke the Box. My next guest successfully harnessed the brain activity of a monkey and sent the signals over the internet to Japan, where it triggered a robot to walk on a treadmill, all of this in real time. So what you say? Well, this may be the beginning of finding a cure for Parkinson's disease and paralysis. We'll be discussing the implications of his experiments found in his latest book, Beyond Boundaries. As always, if you want to join in the conversation or ask a question, you can call us at 639-0008. Dr. Miguel Nicolares is the Ann W. Dean Professor of Neuroscience and is co-director of the Duke Center for Neuroengineering. He's a native of São Paulo, Brazil, where he received his MD and PhD in neurophysiology from the University of São Paulo. Dr. Nicolares is the U.S. scientist to receive, is the first U.S. scientist to receive two top National Institute of Health awards at the same year as a result of his research. And interestingly enough, Pope Benedict XVI has appointed him an academic mission of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences recently. Welcome to the show, Dr. Miguel. How are you today?
Fine. How are you? Thank you very much for the invitation.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show, because it is really a delight to talk to a thought leader like yourself. Now, your latest book, Beyond Boundaries, The New Neuroscience of Connecting Brains to Machines and How That's Going to Change the World, it's pretty heady stuff, and no pun intended there. So for my non-technical listening audience, let's start with an overview of what's happening in brain science today.
Yes, basically we're in a very exciting moment in brain research, because we are coming to grab, you know, new concepts and new ideas on how the brain operates. And at the same time that we are discovering these new ideas and actually looking at the brain in a completely different way, we found out a new technology that allows us to record brain activity, electrical signals produced by large numbers of brain cells, and decode the motor messages that are embedded in these signals, so that we can transmit this information to machines that can now generate action directly from thought alone. So that's what the book deals with. And in very plain language, I think that anybody, any regular person, will be able to read the book and enjoy, you know, what is going on in neuroscience, and particularly how we are, you know, connecting brains and machines together.
Well, it is fascinating. And, of course, most people listening to the sound of our voice really don't think on a day-to-day basis about connecting the brain to some sort of machine, that brain-machine interface. So give us some ideas of ways in which the brain-machine interface is going to help us in our day-to-day life.
Yes, particularly for biomedical research, this is opening new venues to treat patients with severe neurological disorders. So patients that have paralysis, due to, let's say, a spinal cord injury, we are creating ways to basically harvest the signals, the electrical signals that the brains of these patients still produce, and they still contain their motor intentions to move a body that cannot move anymore because of the limitations created by the injury. Well, what we are doing is to create a robotic vest, a whole body robotic vest that these patients will be able to wear, so that when they want to move and they think about moving, the signals that they produce in the brains will be transmitted to this vest, and this vest will generate the movements that they want to produce.
Fascinating.
You know, the near-term application.
Okay.
The more long-term application, but that will come, is being pursued now by the leading companies in computer science, Google, Intel, Microsoft. They're all searching for a brain-machine interface that will allow us to interact with our computers just by thinking. No need for keyboards, no need for mice, no other, you know, slow, cumbersome interface. We will be actually part of our desktops or laptops, and we will be interacting with our operating system directly by thinking.
Now, will that come before speech recognition happens, or will it completely bypass speech recognition for computer interfaces?
Oh, I think it actually has the potential to totally bypass speech recognition, because you will create a complete new channel of communication.
Wow.
That is much more elaborate, actually, than a speech. You know, a speech, as we know, have tremendous limitations to express our wills and our true intentions. When you get about transmitting brain signals directly to a computer, you really enhance the bandwidth that you're talking about tremendously.
All right. We're talking to Dr. Miguel Nicolares, everybody, and we're talking about brain-machine interfaces from his book, Beyond Boundaries. Something that runs in my family is Parkinson's disease, doctor. So tell me about how this brain-machine interface might help us in diseases like Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, well, my grandfather also had Parkinson's disease, so I know exactly what you're talking about. Basically, what we discover is that this communication with the brain can be bidirectional. So you can actually send a message to the brain through a brain-machine interface. So we discovered that in animal models of Parkinson's disease, in both rodents and now more recently in primates, that we can put a brain pacemaker right on the surface of the spinal cord, you know, very superficial under the bone here in the back, and send signals, high-frequency signals to the brain that will disrupt the pathological activity that is produced when a brain has Parkinson's disease.
Wow.
So we have seen that when we do that, these animals stop shaking, and then now regain the ability to move and to go about their, you know, daily business without the limitations that we see in Parkinson's patients.
I mean, that is fascinating science fiction type stuff. Doctor, how far, you're doing this in animals today, how far away are we from clinical trials on human beings for stuff like this?
Yeah, we are hoping to finish the animal work that I mentioned to you this year, you know, and then next year start, you know, the initial clinical trials for the Parkinson brain pacemaker.
Wow.
So we're hoping to at least have the few patients, since this is a semi-invasive technique that has no side effect that we know of and is easy to do, we are hoping that we'll be able to test it starting next year with a few patients to see the initial safety and, you know, viability of this brain pacemaker.
All right.
And also for the patients suffering from paralysis, we're hoping that in the next 3 to 4 years, we'll have the first human whole-body exoskeleton tested through a brain-machine interface.
Wow. We are talking to Dr. Miguel Nicolares, everybody, talking about the man-machine interface from his book, Beyond Boundaries. And because we're also interested in business here, doctor, one of the things that I always think about is, okay, you've just come up with this great concept. You work at Duke University. Do you own the patents to this? And if this becomes commercialized, does the university benefit? Do you benefit from this? How does that all work?
Well, I have a few patents on some of these ideas, and the Parkinson and a few others. It's not my main concern. I don't have any business right now. Duke University holds all these patents, and they are the ones to benefit the most about that. But there is such a thing as the industry of the brain that is coming about. You know, neurotechnology is becoming a major topic for the biomedical industry. And in fact, I have helped a project in the northeast part of Brazil to create what we are calling the campus of the brain and the city of the brain. Is a partnership with the Brazilian government that will create the Palo Alto of neurotechnology in the northern east part of Brazil.
Wow.
So to some degree, this is already feeding in a complete new industry that will, you know, produce, since, you know, medical devices, from medical devices to probably computer science applications.
Oh, my goodness. We're talking to Dr. Miguel Nicolares, everybody, author of the book Beyond Boundaries. But really what we're talking about is the brain-machine interface. And let me just try to open up my thinking, if I can, Dr. Miguel, for just a moment, looking at this and ask the question, all right, if this is all possible, and in the near term it sounds like this is going to be happening, are we going to be able to literally walk down the street and have interpersonal communication just using brain waves?
Well, you know, I think that one day we will. This is not for tomorrow, but not the next year. But as we move ahead and we learn more about how populations of brain cells interact, and as we develop more and more non-invasive techniques to read these electrical patterns, is absolutely conceivable. And I describe an application like that in the book, that one day we'll be able to exchange brain activity. And in fact, we may be able even to download some of our thoughts and keep it, you know, in a library, a thinking library or a thought library for our descendants to, you know, learn what we thought about as we are living through this, you know, century.
All right. Now we're getting into some of the more interesting aspects of your book and the experiments that you're doing. Dr. Nicolaris, when we're looking at this, one of the great honors that you've just been bestowed is the Pope recently appointed you on the Pontifical Academy of Sciences. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
But this all talks about or goes to the point about the theological and moral implications of this brain-machine interface and some of the applications that you're talking about. I mean, are we tinkering with the natural order of things?
Well, not yet, but it's always, and was one of the reasons I wrote this book, it's always interesting to start debating new technologies and bring them to society in a language that every regular person can understand, so society can learn about what is coming and decide and discuss, you know, how to use it for the benefit of mankind. You know, I belong to the French Academy and the Brazilian Academy before being a member of the Pontifical Academy. And these issues have become hot topics of debate among scientists and philosophers, and they ought to be.
As well they should. I couldn't agree with you more. Well, let's talk again in the theoretical, the theological aspects. If I can download my thoughts and have a brain storage for my future generations to know what it is that I was thinking, how close is that to actually preserving my soul and keeping my soul alive and really becoming immortal?
Yeah, I don't know about the soul, but I certainly is my version of immortality. And is perhaps, this will be, of course, tens or hundreds of years in the future, but is my version of what we could leave as a legacy, since each of our lives is so unique. You know, think about it. No one else that ever lived, lives now, or will live in the future, will have a life like yours or mine. Each one of us is a unique personal story. And the fact that one day we'll be able to preserve each life story for future generations to appreciate what it is to be human, I think is perhaps the pinnacle of our humanity. You know, to have each one of us become a member of this epic of the human race. So I see it only as a way to preserve and to honor the legacy of our species.
I think that is very noble. We're talking to Dr. Miguel Nicolaris, everybody. But on the flip side of that, or at least let me present a counter-argument, this man-machine hybrid interface that we're talking about, does that represent an evolutionary change in Homo sapiens if we do that?
Well, it could. In fact, I like to discuss that in the last chapter of the book, that as we interact with machines, and as you know, machines are nothing but expressions or manifestations of what we have in our heads.
Mm-hmm.
They are basically creations of brains, and brains create machines, not the opposite. And the opposite will never happen, in my opinion.
All right.
The fear that we have moving towards some sort of singularity, like I heard everywhere now people talking.
Ray Kurzweil has made that very popular.
Yeah, I really don't believe in any of that. There's no scientific basis for any of that claims. Those claims. I actually believe in the opposite, that we will more and more create machines that enhance our reach and liberate our brains from the physical constraints of our bodies. And in that sense, in the really, really long term, our brains may take more of a control of our evolutionary pathway than our genes, in the future.
Very interesting. We're talking to Dr. Miguel Nicolaris, everybody, whose book, Beyond Boundaries, just a great read, thought-provoking stuff. Let me try to make this a little bit more human again, if I can, Miguel, for my audience that's here. And I'm just trying to wrap my arms around the idea of how did you get the idea to harness the brain's electrical energy and create an interface to machines? I mean, that to me is just an astronomical leap in thinking. Where did you come up with the idea?
Yeah, you know, that was about 12 years ago in Philadelphia where, you know, I was working with my mentor at that time, John Chapin. I was a postdoctoral fellow, and we desperately wanted to prove or to have a demonstration that populations of neurons rather than a single cell or brain cell define the true functional unit of the central nervous system, meaning that you need populations like in an election to vote together to produce a behavior. And
mm-hmm.
we needed a, a compelling paradigm to demonstrate that. That's where we came about with this idea of harnessing the brain of a rat to a little computer and then to a simple robot lever, and show to our colleagues that to make that rat move that lever like the animal would move its forepaw, we had to use many cells together rather than a single cell. We only started that to make that demonstration, but out of a sudden, when we saw this working, we realized that we had touched on something much bigger and much more relevant, and that we could go way beyond our dreams, actually, by recording the activity of just a few hundred neurons. We could reproduce complex behaviors, motor behaviors. So that's when all became clear, and then this whole field opened up.
Wow. We're talking to Dr. Miguel Nicolares, everybody, about his book, Beyond Boundaries, The New Neuroscience of Connecting Brains with Machines and How It Will Change Our Lives. And, Doctor, what do you want people to take away from reading your book, Beyond Boundaries?
Well, I wanted to, basically people to realize that there is a tremendous potential and a tremendous humanitarian future for technology applied to medicine and rehabilitation medicine, and that we should not fear the unknown, and we should not fear new approaches and new technologies to be introduced in our lives, because I truly believe that at the very bottom, at the very end, the human brain will always be on control. We will never be undertaken by anything that we create. Rather, the opposite. Whatever we create as technology will be part of us.
Well, the human brain still today remains the most powerful computer that's out there, and I hope that that continues to be the case, at least through my lifetime, for sure. We're talking to Dr. Miguel Nicolares, everybody. Doctor, what did you get out of writing this book personally?
Oh, it was a tremendous pleasure. You know, it was a tremendous voyage in 200 years of neuroscience research. I retrack the origins of this field to, you know, this battle that is raging for 200 years in our field for, you know, the dominant view of how the brain works. And I was able to recover work of people that have been forgotten for a long time, giants that in the past proposed the very revolutionary ideas, but they just simply disappeared from the literature. And the fact that I could go in many places in the world to visit the places where these people worked and put all this together gave me a tremendous amount of joy.
Well, I can imagine that it is. We've been talking to Dr. Miguel Nicolares, everybody. His book, Beyond Boundaries, very thought-provoking book. If you want to open up your mind, get this book and read it. Doctor, thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Oh, thank you very much for the invitation. It was a great pleasure.
Great pleasure.